This is Exposé 247, where we turn on the light. Yes, we are turning on the light because the light of the world has made us light in this world. And so we are coming today, this morning, to lighten up your prayer walk. So you are not going to be saying there's light at the end of the tunnel. You can have light now. There's illumination now. So there's an understanding you can have now, and there's understanding you can have by and by. So today we are welcoming you to light. So no more dark sayings along the areas of prayers and say we don't even know how, we don't see our signs. So we can see, we can have light in the place of prayer, we can have understanding of what is happening or what should be happening. And so we are coming against with the sword of the Spirit against every dark sayings that is anti-new covenant in the places of prayer. You know, we've been doing that for a while. We have several sessions and episodes on knockout season on prayer. And yesterday, we had a wonderful topic that is when Satan leads prayer point. I'm sure it's very interesting for you to take your time to listen to it. And if you followed us yesterday, then this is the right place to be this morning to continue where we stopped in the temptations of Jesus using the record from the book of Matthew chapter 4. So you're in the right place, so we can just start off with that. Do you want to say anything about that? Or do you want anything to remind our viewers?
Now, viewers all over the world, thank you again for joining us on this knockout series on prayer. Now, don't forget, we are actually looking at those false ideologies and misconceptions in the body of Christ when it comes to prayer. And the reason we are doing that is, according to the scriptures in Colossians 2 verse 8, if we don't deal with the traditions of men that are posing as realities, what happens is those things can steal from us the benefits of the cross that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. And that's why we're looking at all these things. And at the moment, we've been looking at how Jesus Christ himself was able to deal with unbelief, because we've said in the past that a major issue with our prayer lives is not that we don't have enough faith, but because there are lots of unbelief. There are things of unbelief that are actually knocking out the effectiveness of our faith in the place of prayer. So what we are on at the moment is how Jesus Christ himself used the very tools of fasting and prayer as a means to drive out this kind of unbelief. And yesterday, where we actually ended was in Matthew chapter 4, where we saw Satan trying to tempt Jesus. And please, in a nutshell, let's summarize this. That the temptation we are talking about is, we said yesterday, is much more deeper and broader than just talking about falling into sin. Of course, every fall into temptation is a fall into sin. But of course, the reality is, it is much more in a deeper sense, because here we see that the temptation of the enemy that he was actually trying to lure Christ into, sorry about that, is the temptation to drag him into unbelief, to drag him into a point where he wasn't going to walk in the light of the word. So that is the focus of the enemy. The enemy actually seeks to make sure that we walk in unbelief. That's more important to Satan than anything else. Don't forget, the enemy has been defeated on the cross. The Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. It means Satan has no power over you, as it were, in that regard. All he has is to try to tempt us into unbelief. And that's why we're looking at how Jesus himself dealt with this kind of unbelief. And that's where we are currently on Matthew chapter 4. Now, follow us as we go through. Now, Matthew chapter 4. Now, we actually were on verse 3 and verse 4 yesterday. I'm going to recapitulate on that, and we'll make progress by the Holy Ghost. Now, Matthew chapter 4, if you look at verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And but Jesus answered, that's in verse 4. I'm reading Matthew 4, verse 4. He answered and said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, before we progress to verse 5, let us highlight some few things that we didn't actually have the opportunity to do yesterday. Okay. Now, the first thing you would notice is what is actually specifically wrong with that prayer point that Satan was suggesting to Jesus. We mentioned something yesterday about the fact that Satan was asking Christ to turn stone into what Christ is, because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the bread of life. We know that, and it's an attack on his identity. But let's look at this in a deeper sense. Now, you see, if you look at what the enemy was trying to ask Jesus to do, he was talking about his identity as the Son of God. Satan says, "We agree, I agree." I mean, Satan was telling Jesus, "I quite know that you are the Son of God. I'm not debating your sonship." So he said, if you are the Son of God, he tells him he should turn stone to bread. Now look at this. What Satan was trying to tell Jesus is, what's your whole point of sonship? Or what is the significance of your sonship if your sonship does not actually help you as a means of making food available for you since you are hungry? I'll repeat that again. What Satan was sarcastically saying, or what a kind of sarcasm from the devil to Jesus, was saying, if you are the Son of God, what is the point of your sonship? If your sonship is not something that is a means to an end, if your sonship is not turning your stone into bread for you to eat, what's the point of your sonship? Now, repeat that. Now, you see, it means then, Satan was telling Jesus, the main thing here is about having your bread. And if your sonship is not a means to that end, what's the point? Now, if you notice what Satan is trying to do here, was trying to tell Jesus that your identity as a son is only a means. It's not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. The end is solving your hunger problem. And if that end is not met, what is the point of the means? Now, this is what Satan is trying to do to so many Christians in the place of prayer. Where Satan tries to give people a false identity. And Satan tries to tell us that, listen, the goal of life, or the purpose of life, is to solve the hunger problem. So let your Christianity, let your identity as a son, be merely a means to an end. Now let's say this. As a child of God, you have an end in itself. And your end is not solving hunger. Your end is the identity of your sonship. You are a son, and that is the end, not the means. Now, the reason we are simply saying this is because the attack that Satan has on Christians in the place of prayer is an attack to give us a false identity. As long as we can assume a false identity, Satan is satisfied. That's the reason he was telling Jesus, your sonship is barely a means. Now let's look at what the scripture has to say about this. And let's see why this is actually a temptation to drag you to unbelief. You want to say something?
Yes, before you go, it is very interesting. As you were sharing that, I was just remembering that the devil is the same old devil. He doesn't have any new methods up his sleeve. You can see that that is like you are bringing the light. Lord, thank God for the light that came on that verse, letting us to know that is you want to know the purpose of the identity, challenging the purpose of the identity. Some people will not even have a problem about the identity problem. They really who know who they are. So the devil might come to even challenge people to know who. Do they even know who they are? Some know who they are, but they don't even know the purpose for the identity. So they now abuse the identity. So bringing me my memory back to what happened with Esau. What is the purpose of this birthright to me? You know the birthright, the identity, that's the identity that comes, you know, and the genealogy for the firstborn. And, you know, we know the weight, the body of that responsibility. We know what it is. We will say, what is that? When it cannot provide me food now, I'm famished. What's the point of the birthright? He actually put it that way. So we see the devil doing the same thing over the years, and he's going to be doing the same thing again and again. And that is why we are bringing light this morning for you to know that you see the devil challenging that identity. What is the purpose of your relationship with Christ? What is the purpose of saying you are born of God? That is not solving your hunger problem. It's not solving your poverty problem. It's not solving your needs. So what is the purpose? So I hope you will not respond like Esau. So and accept that and say, what is the purpose of my being of being united with God, joint hands with Christ, when it's not solving my immediate problem? And I say, what is the purpose of my birthright, my circumcision, when it's not solving my problem? You will not throw it away. I hope you will pay attention and pay us some mind this morning as we dig deeper into this word.
Now, we don't want you to misconstrue this thing that the Holy Spirit is trying to show us this morning. Please don't misunderstand us. Of course, we are not simply saying that God is not concerned about solving your needs. Of course, the Bible tells us in so many places. For example, in Philippians chapter 4, it says, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So please don't misconstrue us. And don't try to misunderstand what we're saying. Of course, the Bible says that God cares for us. In fact, it says, we see the birds of the air. He said they don't sow or reap, but your Heavenly Father cares for them. Oh, please, don't get this wrong. We're not simply saying that God is not in the business of solving our hunger problem. Surely he is. Surely he is. In fact, he's in the business of protecting us. He's in the business of delivering us from every attack of the enemy. We're not simply saying that is not what God is doing. What are we saying? What we are simply saying is Satan has this desire to always take legitimate needs and turning them into an identity. That is what we are saying. Satan attack on you. The temptation of Satan to drag you and I to unbelief is to take things that are legitimate. He took the hunger of Christ, which was legitimate after 40 days of prayer and fasting. But Satan wouldn't just make it just a need. It will actually, ultimately, the goal of Satan is to turn that very need into an identity. That's what we are talking about. And every time Satan comes in collusion with our need to turn into an identity, what happens is he's able to drag us into unbelief in place of temptation. Now, you see how God sees our needs. Now, you see, the reason we are saying this, we have so many, as it were, places of worship. We have, as it were, places of prayer that people arrange. And if you look at it, the goal or the focus is to use your sonship or to use your identity in Christ as a means to an end. And the end is, well, if you are a child of God, if you are a son of God, the reason why you are a son of God is so that you can solve your hunger problem. Or the reason why you are born of God, the reason why you are born again is so that you can be famous. Or the reason why you are born again, or the reason why you are born of God, so that you can break through. Now, of course, we are going to break through. Of course, it is in the benefit of redemption. Of course, Christ paid for that on the cross. But, as it were, Christ is an end in himself. Those things, we cannot use Christ as a means. And you see, if you notice, in the current system of the world, so many people who are not even born again, who are not even Christians, are using different means to get to their destination. So what Satan then tells a Christian is, since you will not kill someone, since you will not murder someone, since you will not go out there and rob the bank, well, why don't you use your Christian, your identity in Christ and your power with God as a means to solve, to get to the same end? Listen. We don't have the same hand as unbelievers. We don't have the same destination. For you as a Christian, fame, you as a Christian, money, you as a Christian, solving hunger problem is not an end for you. Your end is in Christ. The Bible tells us that receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul, that's not... See, Satan, we always present our pseudo-identity. And the reason he does that is to knock us into unbelief. Now, listen, let's look at something quickly. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8.
Okay.
Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's why you cannot build your Christian identity upon the fact that your faith in Christ is a means to an end. Satan will always drag us onto that point. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at from verse 1. Now watch this. Deuteronomy 8. Now read.
All the commandments
which
I commanded this day
shall
you observe to do.
Okay.
That you may live.
No, you can just go into verse 2 quickly. So
and thou shalt remember all the way which thy Lord thy God led thee these 40 years.
Now watch that.
Go in on. The wilderness.
Okay.
To humble thee.
Okay.
And to prove thee.
Mm-hmm.
To know what was in thy heart.
Okay.
Whether thou wouldest keep his commandment or no.
Okay. Now.
Verse 3.
Verse 3, yes.
And he humbled thee.
Now watch that.
And suffered thee to hunger.
Now watch that. Now you see, if you notice, In a summary backdrop, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and look at Matthew chapter 4, if you're a Bible scholar, a student of the Bible, you will see lots of correlation in the fact that Christ was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And here was the Bible simply saying in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, God said, I led you through the what? The wilderness. If you notice, this was a 40, they were there for 40 years. You can see Christ was there for 40 days. You can see that correlation. And then also, Christ suffered hunger in the period, you know. He had suffered what? Hunger. You can see the correlation. So we can glean some nuggets, spiritually, from this place to understand what was happening to Christ as well. Now, look at what it says. Now, watch that. What God said. God said, I actually know that you actually were suffered to hunger. Now, go on,
please. I'm fed with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did their fathers know, that it might make thee know, that man does not live by bread only.
Now, that means, but by bread only, but by what? But by what?
But by every word.
Every word of what?
That proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
It sounds to me that the Holy Ghost is simply saying that there's a means, there's an end.
Yeah.
But he's turning it the other way around, contrary to what the enemy wants you to have to happen to us. See what it said? God said the reason why you were hungry is that the hunger was a means to an end. And the end was so that you can learn to live by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But Satan says, no, let's do it this way. Satan says, let us make the hunger the end, and let's make your identity the word, the means. This is a twist. Now, this is God said, the reason why you suffer hunger, the reason why there's lack in your life, or the reason why there's inadequacy, or the reason why you go to God in a place of what? Prayer, that the need you think you have should be a means to an end. So God said to them in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy that the hunger that you had was simply a means. The end, or the end goal of that means, so that you can learn to live by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But Satan came to Jesus in Matthew 4 and says, no, Jesus, the means actually is your sonship, and the end should be the hunger. Now, what I'm trying to tell you by the Holy Ghost,
I'd like you to take it slowly so that you can understand that.
Now, see, what we are simply saying is, God has a mind. God has a purpose and a plan for you and I. And God is simply saying, everything you go through in life, every inadequacy you go through, every hunger that you experience, see what he told them in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, every hunger you experience, every incapacitation, every inadequacy that you face daily in your life, God said, well, the reason those things are there, I want it to catch your attention. So that when you come to me, eventually, those very needs are supposed to be a means to an end. And the end is the word I spoke to you. Our relationship, the Father, Son, that's Deuteronomy chapter 8. And that is supposed to be the goal of prayer. That's supposed to be the focus of prayer. Every time God meets your needs, every time God shows up in your situation, you should know something of God you didn't know before. You should come into a revelation of the Father you have no idea of before. So it means that your need, your hunger, was barely a means to an end that was much more deeper, which is the word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. This is the reason why prayer exists. This was what God had in mind when he set up the system of prayer. But what Satan would have to happen in the lives of Christians in the 21st century is to turn this upside down. What Satan wants to do in the 21st century in the lives of Christians is what he attempted with Jesus, to simply say, let's turn the way around. The other way around, which is the Satan's strategy, is to say, no, what will happen is the very prayer itself, your identity, your relationship with the Father should barely just be a means. And the end, as it were, should be the hunger, solving the hunger problem. This is what Satan is attempting to do. And every time we subscribe to that mentality, what happens is we build a false identity, which is an identity based on hunger. That's why you see whole ministries at times. You see whole people gathered, and the means is to, the goal is to use Christ as a means to an end. And this is what Satan was attempting with Christ. It was a battle of identity, as you can see there.
Yeah. I really don't know, because, you know, Jesus was actually had the understanding of this Deuteronomy 8. Because I'm very sure most of our viewers know what is Deuteronomy 8. Some people can really quote it. That's why we were saying yesterday, it's not about the quoting of the verses. No, we're not belittling putting the word of God into your heart. But it goes beyond that. You must have the understanding. You must have the light. He said the unfolding of your word brings light. Just the unfolding, the light that was on this Deuteronomy 8 chapter 3, it was what Jesus understood. Not actually quoting that verse to understand that the hunger now is just a means. There is a bigger picture at the end of it. I hope you are going to run away from every program that is just that wants to stop you. Your prayer work is only stopping at the means. So we have prayer point gear hubs. We have program gears up into solving this problem and ends there. The one that does not take you beyond, that makes those needs
an end in itself,
when it should be a means, that stop everybody receives this and you get that, and then you have leanness in your soul. Because when you don't get to the end of what the word of the Lord should be to you, then you have those things, you have those desires made. You can use all those prayer, you can use all those formulas and routines and regimen to get these things and cook things up. And get things and get the answers, but you have those things with leanness because you didn't get to the end of the of it. The end of it is like if you go through the process the way you should go through,
you will learn to live by the word of God.
So you get to the place of the word where what the word should do into your life, and then you have fatness. You know, you have the strength. You you have the building up. Yes, you have the building up, because if you complete it, if you get it to the end, you know, follow it through. But you stop at the way where you get it done, because it's actually that is the purpose.
That's the end itself.
So the program is not J-Hub. The prayer point, the emotion, J-Hub, come and solve this, get this thing done. And this is 2017 now. The summer having the first quarter has gone. So let's get something done for the next quarter. So we start, and that ends it, and that stops. then we have those things and we have leanness because we didn't allow it to go through. Mm. We didn't get to the part of when the word becoming. Mm. That they get into the place of the word, that is the word that we are living by the word. Mm-hmm. And it's beyond the living on those things, you get to the words. So people get in the journey, they get to the, they acquire the thing, and they did not get to the part of getting to the word.
Because that was the end in itself.
On the word, they now end up living with those things.
Because that's the end in itself. That was
yes,
the goal.
Living with those things. Mm. Living with those desires, those fame, those success, those legitimate things, but they did not get to it. I hope your prayer work is getting, you know, you are having illumination to know that you to your destination.
Prayer
you
as should, a destination.
You cannot stop. You cannot stop there. Mm. You cannot stop there at all. Every prayer point that is bringing you to stop at that, you say no. You are saying no to those prayer points. Say no to those prayer
any
points.
Any prayer point that doesn't get you to the destination of Deuteronomy 8, it means every prayer that solves the hunger but doesn't get to the destination. And that's what we're talking about.
So you should demand more. You know, you are made for more. You are made for more than solving your hunger problem. Mm. That was why Esau get to know that with tears later, that it was more than hunger. He was meant to do more. He was meant to be more than that because he has a destiny on his head. But because of the hunger, he stopped at that way. Let me solve the hunger problem now. Mm. So we are trying to gear your hopes and this will bring you to that awareness to know that you are meant for more. More than all this. Even the sparrows are being fed. You are meant more. You built up for more than solving your hunger problem, more than solving your basic needs. All the message, your Heavenly Father know that you have need of them. We are not just going to decry about it and try to minimize the effect it is due. No. But there is more. We are telling you there is more for you to reach out for and get into that place of the word where you can live on that word, not live on those things. I hope you'll be smart to this morning to get to that point and bring yourself to that to up in that journey.
Yeah, thank you for that inspiration there. Now, viewers, again, let us make it known that we are not here to ignore legitimate needs. We understand people going through a lot of things. At the moment, we know people, we understand people who need God to come through for them in the area of healing. They need to be delivered from some affliction in their body system. There are people who are being afflicted here and there. God is concerned. And then that's if God wasn't concerned, he wouldn't send his son Jesus to be part of the suffering. In fact, the Bible tells us that Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So it means Christ came to bear the burden and they went to the cross to pay the price so that you and I can be free, so that you and I can walk in the victory, in the liberty we are with Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:1. So of course, we are talking about the fact that God is indeed interested, and God actually, I wouldn't say just is interested, I would have said was interested before you were born, because he already sent for Jesus to be a propitiation for your sins, to grant you victory in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, thanks be unto God, who continually leads us in victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. So it means that we're not simply saying we are burying our head in the sand. Like there are some religions that actually they say, well, you know what, this world is nothing. We don't need to think about how we are hungry. Let us just think about by and by what happens in heaven. Let us bear the suffering of this world. Well, of course, that is not the gospel of Christ Jesus. The gospel of Christ Jesus is simply saying God knew the suffering of mankind and God came down in the flesh and became part of that suffering. And by that suffering and the suffering of death, he gave us the power to walk in dominion over those situations. So we're not ignoring those situations. But what are we talking about? Is if Satan comes in contact with those needs, he can turn them to an identity. That's what we're talking about. When Satan colludes or Satan comes in agreement with our needs and legitimate desires, he can end up saying, you know what, this need or this desire is actually who you are. So it means even use your Christ-centered identity to feed who you really are. And that's not who you are. Your hunger is not you. Your appetite is not you. Is that okay? That's what we're saying. It's not you. And if it's not you, it can't be the end to the means of Christ in your life.
Yeah, if I may quickly add, you can just say you cannot be more interested than the Father himself. He's much more interested. You know, we have scriptures that say much more, even more than you can think. Even before you are even formed, even before you can even think, you have the capacity to even think about this is what you need. Your Heavenly Father has thought of that. Even before you say something you already knew, while you were saying, you have scriptures littered all over the pages of the Bible about all those things. So you cannot be more interested about even meeting your need. time by your Heavenly Father, who does much more, who will give much more. We have all those scriptures. And even in our own personal life, we cannot say we are removing ourselves, because we go into this place, when we come into the place of need, we go into it, and we make sure that we work to get to the final destination. We don't stop and just living on those desires and living on those results. Of those requests, of those legitimate requests. And that's why we are bringing it up to you too, so that you can understand the full package. We don't want you to cheat yourself out of it and just stop midway and just having that. There's much more, and that is what Knockout Series is about. You know, we started with that collusion that will not be spoiled of it. We don't want you to be cheated out of the full package, and the full package is beyond meeting your needs. So you have those needs met.
They are means.
You must have them met. You must have it met, and then you go beyond that to have a full package in living on the word, and that's where you will not have leanness alongside your needs being met.
Amen. Now, you see, because before we actually go to from verse 5 and verse 6, let us also say clearly that the power of the enemy and the power of Satan over our lives, as it were, because like we said, he has been defeated on the cross. The power he has is always to present to us our needs or our desires as identity. Now, if you look at the case of Adam, there's an insight that the Holy Ghost will actually have us to glean from that. When you look at the life of Adam himself, have you noticed that before Adam actually disobeyed and ate the fruit with his wife, with Eve, have you noticed that he was actually naked before them? I mean, we have nothing on record. Bible says to us that the man and the woman were both naked and not ashamed. I'm quoting Genesis. You can please read that. It said they were both naked. So we have on record, the Holy Spirit is saying to us that they were both naked, but they were not ashamed. So it means that they were naked. It means they were not clothed physically, as it were. We know God's glory covered them, but they were naked, as it were, in the body, but they were not ashamed. It wasn't an identity, as it were. Can you see that? It wasn't an identity. But if you notice, as soon as Adam and Eve fell, and as soon as God came into the garden, and God asked a question, Adam, where are you? That's the question that God asked. Now, if you watch the statement of Adam, can you see that? Adam said, I was, now mark the word, I was naked. Now, question I want to ask you is, was that at that point that he was naked? No, the Bible says before then, they were naked and they were not ashamed. But now, Adam was saying to God, I was what? I was naked. I mean, this is my identity now. I've assumed this identity now. And you see, God asked him a question after that. God said, who told you? That's the word. Who told you that you were what? Naked. Who gave you that type of what? Identity. Now, what we're simply saying is, Adam was naked before the fall. What was the difference in the nakedness of Adam before the fall and after the fall? That's the question we should be asking. And the answer to that question is simple. Before the fall, Adam had nakedness. After the fall, nakedness had him. Now, this is the difference we are talking about. This was Satan tries. That's why God asked him, who told you? Somebody told you that. Somebody turned what you had to what had you. Somebody turned it. Somebody told you that this is your new identity. And that's the point. Before there was ever a fall, or before there was ever anything, hunger would always be a legitimate need of people. The desire to be prominent, the desire to be significant in life, is a legitimate human desire. In fact, Jesus told the disciples, if anybody will be great among you, let him be like one that serves. So the desire to be prominent, to be great, is a legitimate human desire. What Satan does, as it were, is to take them and turn them into an identity and say, this is your life. If you don't achieve this, you are a nobody. If you don't achieve this, you are nothing. If you don't achieve this, if you don't solve this hunger problem, your life is useless. That is what Satan tries to do with those very things. And that's what he did on Adam. That's why he turned having nakedness to nakedness having Adam. And that's why Adam said, I'm nothing now. Now I'm naked, life is just completely nothing at that point.
In other words, it's just saying living with the result of your prayer report point. So instead of living with the result of God's word, you have those things, fine. It is good for you to have them. It is necessary. You must have them. Then you have them, but you are living on it. And it becomes your identity.
I'm feeding on them and saying, this is why life is worth living. The reason why life is worth living, this is it, because I have this now. That's why life is
going
worth living.
Going forth and forth about it, and then you feel like this is how to live life.
This is it.
Anymore, and this is where it ends. And this is it. and this is how to go about it, but not living on the result of God's words.
Mm.
And that is the thing. So letting those things, those prayer requests, and people have become masters and craftsmaster on living on these things, and even become specialists in how to live on this. And they are famous for this. We're not living on the word of God.
That's it. And as you can notice then, there's a big difference between how a child of God, a Christian, or somebody who has the Christ-centered identity, the way you view hunger, cannot be the same way an unbeliever views hunger.
Yeah.
The way you view fame and popularity and significance in life cannot be the same way an unbeliever views fame and significance and popularity. Or the way you view success in life cannot be the same way an unbeliever views success. The difference is, for the unbeliever, for those who don't know God, success to them is an end in itself. But for you, a child of the King, for you who are washed and bought by the blood of Jesus, for you that Christ gave his identity to, for you, success is a means to an end. And that is it. So now let's see. Satan's attack on the soul of a Christian in the place of prayer. Satan's attack on the soul of anyone will simply be that we should distort the order and make the means an end and make the end a means. And that's what Satan is attacking every soul, every Christian with.
I hope our viewers could know that we are coming against every principle that is against sources, because some people believe that we should not be talking about sources of faith. We even saw in the ministry, success is legitimate desire. You see those apostles that they came to the mother of those John and Zebedee that came to Jesus. I want my, you know, even in the ministry, I want them to be prominent and this. And Jesus did not rebuke this woman and say, what desire you have is bad. He was just telling him the process. So Jesus did not cut them off. You know, even when they're among the disciples, and even in ministry, in every aspect of life. So we're coming against the principle that says you should not desire success, you should not desire prominence, you should not desire to be in wealth and all those things to have your needs met. You know, it is anti-biblical, the anti-new covenant. You should have those desires, and the desire is not bad in itself. Even the process about it, just about going about it. And that's why Jesus said about the process of going about it. And then we cannot bring ourselves to the same position of the unbelievers, because they too have those legitimate needs, and they look for any source to meet those needs. And so you just now using prayer to meet those needs, what difference is it?
It's just like it's the same thing, using a different means or a different channel
to do it. So people go about it. Some people put it into their self, they plow themselves into it, so they are self-made, they use the whatever, they into their new philosophy, motivations, and do everything, grit and all those things, and do it. So anybody can just use any method that they are suitable for. Some are not even criminal like that. They just point to themselves, more of themselves, and they can deny anything just in the name of getting it. So if you are not going to prayer and fasting and doing the same, and just using the method of prayer and fasting
with the same goal
of just meeting success and just having success, and just what is the point? You're just using it, just a different method. It doesn't make any sense. Any difference? Just the same thing, different method.
Different method to the same end. And you see what you just said just sparked up a scripture in my spirit when he talked about the fact that the pagans seek after these things. Can you see? But for the pagans, those things are the end in themselves. It says, your heavenly Father knows the things that you need before you ask him. So what Christ was saying, I mean, we quote that verse a lot, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But now the light of the word of God is coming to that. That this seek ye first the kingdom that we quote a lot, in reality is simply saying, don't make those things an end in themselves. It says what? You're pagans, ungodly people. Those things are the end in themselves. They seek after these things. What to what? Eat, what to drink, and what to put on. Except for the unbelievers, those things are an end in themselves. But for you, it shouldn't be your end. They should just barely be your means to a greater end.
They are well catered. In that same verse, no, we see that they are catered for.
Exactly.
So it's not like you are going to shy away from those needs.
Yeah.
It's already catered for, but there is a bigger picture end.
So we can see that the temptation that we do have of Christ is just a means of, rearranging the means and the end. That's all about it. You can summarize the temptation that way. And you see, before we go on, it seems that I believe the Holy Ghost is still pointing something out here before we go to the next verse 5. You see, at the time, many weeks ago, we actually go through the Prodigal Father series. And then, you see, in summary, there was something that actually... it actually came up during those series. And please, it would be great for you to watch those series.
I think there are 36.
There are 36 of them. The Prodigal Father series. We actually look at Luke 15, 11 to 32. You see, there's something about the event in Luke 15 that actually points back to this particular temptation in Matthew chapter 4, from verse 3 to 4. Now, you see, the younger son and the elder son. I mean, if you notice the younger son, I know it's very clear to many people that the younger son was actually more concerned about the stuff. About the, you know, he wasn't really concerned about the father. That's why he told the father, he said to him, to the father, I said, can you, what, divide inheritance between me and my brother? You know, you only say that you're not supposed to divide your inheritance unless you are dead. So he was just saying to the father, who cares if you are alive or dead? Just give me my portion. I even wish you dead anyway. That's what I was asking for his inheritance. But I think that's very clear cut for the younger brother. It means he was more concerned about the what? The things than it was about the relationship with the father. But that's not even the one that I'm actually focusing on. The one I'm focusing on is the religious one. The one that was religious, the one that was spiritual. The elder son who was actually spiritual, who was actually religious in a way. Because why? He told the father, he said, I've kept every of your instruction. That is a great testimony of his own particular character and behavior. He said, I've kept every of your word. He said, I've never flouted any of your instructions. Now the question is, what is this elder son trying to achieve? Now we know. You know why? As soon as the father killed a calf, a young calf for his younger brother, when the younger brother came back home, as soon as they killed the younger calf, the elder brother went angry. And look at his complaint. Please watch his complaint. He said, you have not given me a young goat. He said, he told the father, that's the elder son, he said, you have not given me a young goat. Now watch that. Does that mean then that the reason why he's been doing all he's been doing, the reason why he's been keeping all the instructions of his father, the reason why he made sure he was 100% obedient, now we know it was meant to be a means to an end. The end in itself was the young goat. That's why he was offended when he noticed that after all I've done, I still don't have a young goat. It means all my obedience, all my sacrifice, all my going to the farm to make sure I obey every of your instruction as a father-son relationship was because I wanted something. I wanted a young goat. And when he didn't have it, he went angry. He became really, really frustrated because, of course, to him, in his own understanding, all his obedience was a means to an end. And as long as the end wasn't coming in sight, he became angry. Now, you see, now we understand. This was the frustration of the elder son in Luke 15. To him, obeying the father was merely a means. To him, there was a deeper hand. And this is why the story points to a lot of us today to understand the fact that, you see, your walk with God cannot be a means to an end. It's an end in itself. And you see, for some of us who are listening to this, you might be wondering, does this really apply to you? Because you think, oh, I believe God. I walk with God. God is my life. Christ is my life. Now, let me tell you how you're going to know. Because at times, it's hard to understand addiction unless you understand addiction in a different way. For example, if you have two people who are actually, you know, who are addicted to drinks or to alcohol, it's hard to tell who are drinking alcohol. If they drink 10 bottles or 6 bottles or 15 bottles, it might be hard for you to figure out who is actually addicted. The easiest way to know addiction to something is to prevent access to that thing. When you prevent access to something, look at the person that goes crazy. Look at a person who becomes uncontrollable. Look at a person that is actually feeling like they could die because they don't have access to that thing. That's the person who is actually what? Addicted. How do we know the elder son had the means to an end? He's trying to use all his obedience to the father as a means to an end. How do we know that? Until he had no goat. It was when he was not given access to the goat that he became crazy. So we knew then, we now know on purpose and on point that actually all his obedience was a means to an end. And this is what Satan was trying to tempt Christ. That was what the elder son in Luke 15 fell for. And that's what we see there.
Thanks for that insight and bring the story. And that story is very, very pivotal. You need to go and watch all the 36 episodes to have a full understanding of it and see the Roman race is classified into two. And then we can see this import of this story in what we are discussing this morning. Because we see some people too, we have the two classes of people. Some people use this prayer to get the means and they get their satisfaction, they get their desired result, they get the fame and success like that, and they stop at there. Then you see some people, because you see that they are righteous, they are not even cutting corners, even in place of prayer, and they don't get these things, or they get so angry and frustrated.
It's the same
thing. Yes, it's the same thing. You see them being frustrated because you thought they were law abiding, you thought they understand grace,
but it was a means.
you thought that they are everything about them, they're spiritual, they're, you don't feel like they're even better than the others because you see the way they even conduct themselves in place of prayer. You feel like as if they have understanding, they are, the people even label themselves new covenants, able ministers and everything, understand that they're not doing like the whole testament way of praying and everything. You feel like everything is okay and right. But when they don't see the answers forthcoming, that is the thing. When those things like withdrawal, those things is not forthcoming, they're not getting that their desired results, they will not see the full, their true nature. You see them becoming, you know, they see their rant about it. So I think God owes them, just like that Ederson, that he owes them the young goats, because they have put in
So what's the point of the obedience? It doesn't mean.
So some of them say, I've put in my labors of prayers, I've put in my labors of fasting, of consecration, of sanctification, of all those kind of things. I'm not like the others that even frivolously, you know, some people, they just say they come into the presence of God frivolously, making confessions that they're getting it. They just, they feel like we are sober, we are more mature, we have paid the price, and then we have our works, our testimony to talk for us about this. But you see, when those things are not forthcoming and everything, no, they will actually be claiming it's not for that thing, they are for the Father and everything.
Yeah, but now we know.
Yes, they feel they are for the Father because they are doing more for the Father than the others. Just with the others come to use the Father first, they felt they are doing more and they have the yes to prove it. They have the testimony to prove that they are doing more for the Father and they have all those evidence. But we now see when those things are forthcoming, they start beginning to comparing themselves with those others. So you see their rant about the Father, against the Father, we don't have this. Even what, of what purpose is my serving you? Of what purpose is my consecration? Like this, I don't have this like the others.
That's like saying that those my just merely a means to an end, so that you can hold me, so that God can hold me. That was the whole point.
So when they don't see those things forthcoming, then you now begin to see them being bitter. They stay outside. You know, they don't even rejoice with the others. They don't. They don't even rejoice with the other brothers, the other folks. They stay outside. You see the hunger and the thing. So this is for all classes of men and women, because you can fall into the left or into the right of it. You can be the one that used prayer. You know how to just
as
use it
means to an
quickly
end.
Get it. You can know how to conduct conversions and everything. Get things out. You don't know how to even pay the price. You don't even know about staying further and doing so many commitments like the others. And some can be using those commitments again all about. Still getting the, procuring the means, just to get the solution solved. And then you will not even know until you don't have the answers have just, they are delayed in coming.
That we now know. Your emotional reaction. Now, you see, thank you for that. Now, please, again, at the risk of being misunderstood, because we want to make sure that you don't actually misunderstand us. For example, if you pray and you don't get answers to prayer, of course, you should find out why you didn't get the answers to prayer. Of course, the disciples went to ask Jesus in Mark chapter 9, in Matthew 17. They went to ask him, with the boy, they were trying to cast the devil out of the boy. And we've actually had it, we actually looked into this, and that's why that actually led us into this particular Matthew 4 and about unbelief. Don't forget, if your prayers are not being answered, it is legitimate for you to find out why. Because they asked Jesus, why could we not cast out the devil? That was, Jesus did not say, well, why are you asking me why you couldn't cast out the devil? He didn't scold them for asking. You should find out why. That's not what we are talking about. We are simply saying, when your prayers are not answered, or when you're working with the Father, it doesn't yield some result, if your emotional outburst or your mentality, if it ends up saying you feel that God holds you, or you feel like, what's the whole point of my working with God then? Or what's the whole point? When you say such things, you are actually living in Matthew 4, verse 3 and 4. You are being dragged in Matthew 4, 3 and 4. It means you are simply saying, you know what? My identity as a child of God was merely a means.
Just to get good.
And as long as the end is not being met, what's the point? If that's the mentality we are talking about. And you see, you might not be seeing that it's a Satan with two horns talking at you. Bible says, see, you are in a drag with the devil at the moment. If that's your mentality, that's what Satan was trying out with Jesus. That is the point of this turning stone to bread. It was a matter of saying, what's your identity was meant to be a means to an end. And Christ said, no, my identity is not a means to an end. In fact, my identity is not to, the end is not hunger. The hunger is the means. The end is my identity in Christ, as a son of God. And Jesus, how do we know Christ was talking about this? Because Jesus took Satan back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's what he quoted.
Yes, if I can throw more light on it, the rants of these religious folks are always the same, you know. Just like the younger, the elder son, they were saying that, it is you, Father, it is you, it is you. You did not. You. He's not even looking at himself. You see that it's quite different. It's a contrast from the disciples when they couldn't get the answers to their prayer in such a way. When they couldn't heal that, deliver that young without boy, they came to, why can we not? But then, you know, all these religious rights, this is the father. Because the father is delayed. It's the father that is not being faithful to his word. We have done our part. Just like that, that's all. I've done my own part.
It means to an end.
You know, I can't look back and say, I'm putting these years, I'm plowing these years. So it is the father that is delaying coming. It's the father that is just, everything is just about the father. And that is the same. You know, it's just about them because they felt they have qualified themselves. He holds them this. And so we see the same rant. We see all those traces in their rant, in their outburst. That is everything, every of those things, every of the responsibilities on the father. They are not even looking at it and say, what is it? Why we cannot? Why is it that I am not having this? I should have it. Because they are so full of themselves. They feel like they have done everything they need to do.
And to them, all they have done is merely a means.
It does not look like that.
What it means? It doesn't look like what it means.
Because if we are looking at the other song before the last verse that showed that, everybody would have felt
like it was all a means.
Nobody would have known that he really wanted, what he was doing was for the goat. Took some years, it took some days for him to know. So that's why people would not even know when you see people doing the religious folks like that, you know, religious folks with that spirituality, when they go into all those things, playing this year, those commitments, all those testimonies, they are actually for a young goat.
There's a goal.
Yes, the young goats, but it's not apparent because nobody knows. We just even before people have already been vilified the younger son. I feel what an example the other brother is. Is a worthy example that is doing all. He does not even the father could not fault him. So when he laid out all his credentials, the father could not say no. You missed out on anything. He was really, really without any record, no blemish. So people have lives without blemish and they have testimonies like that, but nobody knows until the end. That we know that all this is just not that he loves the father, just like the other son wished the father dead. So the man, so the other son wished the father that I don't care.
I'm doing all this because I wanted something. There's an end in itself.
So,
I mean,
the
father is not an end.
They're both depraved. The both sons are depraved.
So, the elder son is saying, my father is not an end in himself. I'm just using him. He's a means.
So they're both as guilty. They're both as corrupt.
I think the elder son is probably worse because it's sneakingly corrupt. It's not even obvious.
That's the thing. Because that one can easily come to his mind. You know, the younger son was able to come to his mind because he know the stench of the corruption was so much for him. It's easier for him to come into his mind and feel like, no, let me go back home. Let me go back to the father. But for the one, he cannot. He was in a place. He was in a disoriented. At least removed from me to know that he's in. He's actually corrupt to come to his mind.
Now, what we are simply saying this morning is this. Every child of God, every son of God, everyone born of God needs to always take the devil all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We need to take Satan back there every time.
Yeah.
And tell him, listen, Satan, I'm hungry. Agreed. I need to live a significant life. I cannot be in an entity. I agree. My life is valuable and my life must count for this present world. I agree. Thank you, Satan, I agree. But listen, all those things you've mentioned, they are the means. And my end is to live by every word that God calls me, everything that God calls me. So as Christ took Satan back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, can you see Satan quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8 and said, man shall not live by what? He quoted it. So we also must always, at every time, every instance of life, even when you come to the place of prayer, you must declare that word. Always declare Deuteronomy chapter 8 and tell the devil, and tell him, my needs are legitimate. They are legitimate. There are actually needs. My life must count. My life is valuable. Of course, I must satisfy my hunger. Of course, I cannot be an entity in life. But listen, Satan, that is not an end in itself for me. That's not my identity. Christ is my life. Christ is my identity. And those means are merely a means to an end. And the end is Christ.
Like we previously shared, that it's not just about quoting the verse, because I know some people don't have a problem with quoting the verse. It's just even understanding what the verse is about. Yeah. And that's why we are doing an expose on verses like this, so that we can have the understanding like that. And then we are talking about this, and then bringing it to me, practical examples, like even if you have to show the difference, even if you have the results of those prayer, you know, you cannot live on those results of the prayer. You know, you have to know that there is a bigger picture here. There is a complete package here, which you must partake of. because it is dangerous for you to just live off on that. Because you see people living off and they even fame themselves as being like a prosperity preacher. We know how to get the answers. They are faith preacher that can faith, that can only procure things. You know, they stay on that and they stay on that alone. And that's the truth that they even become, that has become their identity. About it, they glory in that, that we can use this and this and get this. And so they are really tag themselves, the healing teachers, the this, because they have results to back those things up. And so they have allowed that thing to becloud their judgment, and they have allowed that thing to take a form of them,
identity
of them. And they even label themselves and be proud of that. You know, they don't even know that it's a bigger picture living on the world, that those ones are just, they're just on the pathway. They are on the pathway of the journey, and the journey is longer than that. There's an end you should consider, you know. They should consider your end. Yeah, and that's the end of just living on Christ. You live on Christ, eh? Not just living off Christ alone. You're living on Christ, not living off Christ. So we are not just going to just use Christ, and that is why makes our profession of Christianity like it doesn't make any sense to, especially in a Western world where people are living off on some other things. So if you are just using Christ,
just like one of the ways of getting to the same end as unbelievers.
So one of the ways of getting to the same end. So it doesn't make any sense. So that means that what's the purpose of coming to Christ when I can achieve it by other means?
Okay,
everybody can go through it anyway. So what is the point? So you have to think about these things. You know, we are calling you to reasoning. You know, you must be able to give, like it was the scripture I called you to give up, to be able to give up the reasons for the hope, for the hope that is in us.
What's the goal? What's the destination? What's the point?
So why are you going? Why are you saying you are born of God?
Where are we going?
So there must be a reason. Why you say you are born of God, and their own reason is like, hey, yes, I'm born of God so that I can have this success, I can pass exams, I can be famous, I can have money, I can meet my needs, I can do this. Is that your answer?
That's your final answer. That's what Satan was telling Christ to do.
Yeah, is that your final answer? So that's why you are going to church this morning, and why you are in church today, this morning, so you can meet this your immediate needs, so you can, you know, escape eviction and all those things. Is that why people can't get, people are doing this without Christ?
That's it.
So what is the point? So you need to think through all these things we are doing. Think through all those rituals. Just pause for a moment and think about all this and see the bigger picture. And I hope you are seeing that this morning.
So it means that if you have joined us this morning, you would notice that we have established that a drag that Satan was trying to drag Christ Jesus into was a drag of means and ends. That's all. It was a distortion of means and ends, and that's what that temptation is all about. And if you're going to be successful in the place of prayer, in the place of walking in victory in Christ Jesus, well, this is something we need to understand and walk in the reality of.
And then if you've just joined us this morning today and you saw us going to Luke 15 and we quickly do a recap so fast and it was faster for you. We told you that we've broken that prodigal father series and the two lost sons, you know, that family, that problematic family, we've broken down into 36 episodes. So you really need for you to understand what we're saying today. If it's just above you, that you understand that we have it in our section, go to our page
archives.
And our archives of Prodigal Father series before the Knockout series, so you can really understand this, because all of them are linked. You know, they are all of the scriptures, all these passages are linked. You can see that's Matthew 4 linked into Deuteronomy 8. And then we are telling some people too, you have to even know the word of God in them, because if you don't even know what is in Deuteronomy 8, some don't even know at all what is it, even for you to understand. You know, you just have to know first for you to understand. You know, that is it. So you don't even know that there is a purpose for this. There is a purpose for your hunger. You know, in that 8th chapter was telling you
the purpose of hunger.
The purpose for the hunger.
Yeah.
So
it means, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. He said, I suffer it that you may know.
That's the purpose.
So people have hunger. Their hunger is not achieving that purpose.
That's the point.
Their hunger that is not bringing them to knowledge. Their needs that is not bringing them to knowledge. So your needs, that's your basic need, that the pressing need, it has a purpose for it. So have you found out what the purpose of that need is? Some have not even found out what the purpose of it is. Just feel like, hey, just to fill my tummy and meet that needs. That is it. It is beyond that. That's what I say. Like, and he humbled thee. I'm quoting Deuteronomy 8, chapter 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy father die. He might make thee know.
That's the point.
As he made you know now. That present need you have this morning, that is the pressing need that has been with you. Have you learned what you need to know? That is the thing. And what are you learning? Are you learning what you should learn? Are you knowing what you should know? Because some people are knowing something different. But you have to find the purpose here. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 3 said that you might know what, that man does not live by bread. Because some people have a different knowledge from their needs. Some people are picking out points and picking out reasons for them, for their needs, and they can explain their needs off. And it's against the scriptures. So that you might know that you mean that man should not live by bread. That is the purpose. That's the ultimate purpose for it. So every
purpose
need
of hunger.
The purpose of hunger. So that you know that every need is actually being you have that need that you might know. So if the provision of the if you are, the problem being solved does not lead you to that knowledge of being of knowing that you have just wasted that. You've wasted that opportunity. So the hunger and the needs in your life are opportunities for knowledge. Opportunities. And then what is the end? Is the end that you know that man does not live by this, by
but
the
by
result.
Every word
that man proceeds. Does not live by the results. People are living by the solutions now.
Living by the answer.
Living by
solution.
The answers. Living by the solutions. Living by the deliverance. Living by the healing. Living by the prosperity. Living by the money. Living by the fame. Living by the answers that come from the place of worship. Living by living up the anointing. You know, it is the Lord's anointing. Living up on all those things. You will not live by this. Matthew, Deuteronomy 8 tells you that the purpose of that is for you to know, to live on God's word.
That
so it's an opportunity for you for knowledge. It's a learning course. They are learning moments. So I hope you'll be able to see your hunger, your needs, the way it should be seen. That they are learning moments. They are opportunities for you to know that. And it must lead you to the end. And what is the end? The end is to know that you should live on the word of the Lord, not on those things. So you get it and get to the end of it. Not living on this.
But here, taking an identity that the Father gives by his word.
That's so we are calling you back to the scriptures. Calling you back to the Bible to know. Yes, to know this thing, to understand it. To understand that this process, as you go through this process, they are legitimate. There are things that happen, and your Father as well is well thought out. It's a well thought out plan. It doesn't come as a surprise. It's not an emergency. So whatever you're going through is not an emergency. Your Father has known even before the creations of the world, even before you even think about it, before you can even reason about it, and he's able to do much more that you can even think, that you can even comprehend. But there are learning moments, there are opportunities for you to have the right knowledge. And I hope that as you approach these things, as you begin to see this in the light of the scriptures, you see your needs, your moment of needs, that you see that there are learning moments, and for you to glean out, to make find out yourself that it must lead you to know that you should not live by the word of the thing. So don't let anybody stop you in the track of your journey and tell you that, okay, let's start living on this. And so you live daily by the results of it, live daily by healings, by faith confessions and everything that does not lead to living on the word of the Lord. You just need to say no to those. Say no to those prayer points today, because there is a purpose for your hunger.
They say there is, surely there is. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. I think we just want to draw the curtain on this. Thank you for joining us. And it's, I think it's a convenient place to stop, to pause, so that we can think and reflect on this. There's a purpose for your hunger. And this you must need to say no to prayer points. You know, that does not lead you to live on the word of the Lord. Prayer point that leads you to stop at, let's get this thing done. Get it done. And that is the end. You say no, you run away from those prayer points.
Why did you get it
because
done?
That's the temptation. That is temptation.
That well, that's satanic. Now, if you that's I say, it's not about Satan having two horns and with one, you know, dark stuff. It's that was the temptation he was going to use against Christ Jesus.
That was the temptation of Jesus. So, those things, so all those prayer points, all those prayer points that ends on your needs, that ends in provision of your needs alone, that is the you're in the place of temptations. You're in the place of temptation, and that is the tempter. So those prayer points are the tempter that I want to stop at that and say, this is it. And the purpose of your hunger is just to be fed.
Say command.
The purpose of your life is just to be clothed. Like that. The purpose of your life is just to have fame. That's very intense.
And
no.
that's your identity. That's what matters to you.
In the same place in Deuteronomy H was telling you that he gives the power to go where, to the out there so that you might show the, you know, he was telling the purpose. You know, some prayer points and everything, I'm just looking there, getting this acquisition just for yourself. You know, you have to understand this. I think you have to go back to the scriptures.
That if you didn't say that, he said, I fed you.
Yes.
He said, I fed you, but my feeding you was still a means. He said, I fed you. He said, can you see? He said, I fed you. He didn't say, I left you hungry. He said, I somebody to hunger and I fed you with manna. He said, I fed you. I fed you. I did it. I didn't leave you hungry. I fed you with manna. But when I did, it was because it was a means. To an end.
Because let me quickly read verse 16. He said, who fed in the wilderness? So we can see the Father that will not ignore. He's the one feeding. He provided the manna. So you cannot say you can be ignored. You can never be ignored. You cannot be left on your own. So you can see the Father did not even leave them in their own. Even when he provided the opportunity, he gave them the manna. So yeah. That is the thing. You are not going to be left alone. No, you don't have a father.
You must make demand on the word of God. You must walk in faith. You must receive from God what you're asking God for. But ultimately, you still know it's me.
So all through this, God will just say, he fed you. He convincingly said he fed it. And then he now said that, verse 18 was said, but you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is this that giveth thee the power to God, that he may establish his covenant. So you must understand, that thing must take you to the purpose. So your words must take you to that purpose of know that he establishes for his covenant. That is it. So you must understand the purpose of your hunger. And I hope you are going to take your time to listen to this. If this blesses you, please share it with others and then find a time to go back again. If you have missed it, maybe you are in the place of worship, you can go back and you have this. You find us in the page. You always find us on their page, Exposé 247, to learn and say. So we will see you next week, Saturday, 7 p.m. UK time. Just say, go and find out the purpose of your hunger. It is beyond that. It is beyond just meeting the needs. It's for you to live. You're living on the word, not living on the result of your prayer point. So don't not live on the result of your prayer point. Do not live on the anointing. Don't live off on God. Live on the word. Live on God.
Don't let Satan twist the means and the ends, like we're trying to do for Christ on us.
So we see you on Saturday, 7 p.m. UK time. Stay strong. Stay blessed. Bye.